Good morning. Merry Christmas. Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Kampala, especially if it's your first time. Pray that you enjoy your fellowship with us. If you're in town for Christmas, enjoy your Christmas time with us here. If you're just dropping by once, please send our warm greetings to your home church. If you're looking for a church, please welcome to make this your home church. Amen. Okay, let's open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 1, Christmas narrative. Don't you love Christmas? It comes so quick. We just had Christmas a few months ago in 2014. It's here again. And in Luke chapter 1, we'll pick up from verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of God Most High will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing is impossible." And Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for this wonderful story. Story of our redemption. Thank you so much that we get to reflect about your coming. Lord, you have a message for us through this word that we're reading. By your Spirit, lead us to understand it and to embrace it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There is so much exciting things about the Christmas narrative. There's so much good news in almost every sentence in all the narratives in the Gospels about Jesus' coming. It's just beautiful. The peace that he would bring. I mean, look at the prophecies in the Bible. Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9. Incredible things that God was doing. And then finally, it is happening. And this time when I was going through this Christmas narrative, the one thing, among many things that came to my mind, was what would your response be if you were Mary or Joseph? I mean, look at the way they respond. What if it was you? You're just going through your normal day. Mary, Joseph, engaged. They're planning a wedding. It's coming. Maybe she's going to get some water. It's a country setting. Maybe whatever was happening. Just there. Maybe it's stressed or not. Looking for makeup. Looking for wedding shoes. Wedding dress. Going to a tailor. And then all of a sudden, God shows up and he has a grand plan. I mean, look at the setting, just normal, right? She wasn't even praying. She wasn't even fasting. She wasn't even in church. And it was nothing they expected. I mean, the last time God sent an angel to earth to accomplish a similar mission was almost over 500 years past. In the days of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, when God sent an angel to give Daniel his entire plan, including the very time that Jesus would come and would be cut off in Jerusalem. God gave Daniel, it's called the 70 weeks, the entirety of his end time plan. This caused Daniel to faint because he had information overload, suffered it. And God shows up to Mary through an angel and tells her, you will become pregnant. She's never been pregnant. It will be a son too. I have a name for you. If you have trouble choosing names, I have a name for you. His name is Jesus. What? All right. He shall be great. He is going to be all powerful. 5, he will be called Son of God. I mean, by this time you're dead, right? 5 things not yet over. God will give him the throne of his father David. He is a heir to a throne. He is a royal. He has royal blood. And not just earthly royal blood. He will reign forever. His kingdom is everlasting. I mean, that would change all your plans, wouldn't it? That would change everything in your mind. And rightly so, she's like, how is this going to be possible? I'm a single lady, God. You got the wrong person. How is this possible? And God would explain to her, look, it is going to happen supernaturally. She knows nothing supernatural. She only knows, as a Jewish girl, this redemption story from Egypt. And maybe a few stories through their dark days in captivity, how they then return to the land. She knows nothing supernatural. She has not experienced a miracle in her life. 7 things, and she's thinking, wow, I am in trouble. And then Joseph obviously had his issues to deal with when he finally got to know that his fiance is already pregnant and the child is not his. He obviously was thinking, no games here, you know what? I have to break off. All right? I'm not getting involved with this again. And his plan is get rid of her and move on. And in all this, none of them was really aware of God's kingdom picture and plan. And God is trying to explain to them what he's about to do. How shall this be? I need to get rid of this girl. And obviously God deals with all those questions and concerns. But imagine that happened to you. And in some places, in scriptures, many places in scriptures, God shows up with small, medium, big plans. And he tells people, and they're thinking, what? I mean, think of Exodus 3 when God shows up to Moses. He's a shepherd. He's a runaway fugitive. He's wanted for murder in Egypt. He's probably thinking, those Egyptians for sure must have forgotten about me. And then God shows up and says, I want you to go back there. Now, when you read Moses' story, and God appeared to him, the one humor I find in it is that Moses does not tell God, you know what, God, I'm actually wanted there. I don't want to go back. You know what he says? I'm not good at public speaking. I cannot go alone. I need somebody. And God says, hey, I have somebody ready in plan. Well, God, why can't you just leave me alone? Joshua, Moses comes to the scene, does his ministry, and is dead. And God shows up to Joshua and tells him, Joshua, you are a soldier, yes? I have a mission, and Joshua is shaking in his boots. This is a coward of a soldier. And you know how many times God had to tell him, man, be courageous. Do you have to tell a soldier to be courageous? First of all, their training is to beat fear out of them. And multiple times, God tells Joshua, be courageous. It's time for war. And he's completely unprepared for God's big picture and plan. For some people, they knew the details. For some, they did not. Look at Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 9 to 11. Eli, this corrupt priest, talked about him last Sunday, junk, like he's good for nothing of a pastor. His kids wasted, defiling God's temple. Is little Samuel in there? God had a word for this boy. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 9, therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and shall be if he calls you. But you must say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as the other times, Sam, Sam. And Sam answered, speak, your servant hears. And the Lord said to Sam, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both of your ears, the ears of everyone who will hear it, will tingle. God was going to institute new leadership. What if God came to you and told you, you know what? I have a plan. And in your house, you are raising the next president of this country. Because that was what God was going to do. He was going to revamp the entire leadership. How many of you would like to see that in this country? That would cause our ears to tingle, right? I'm going to get rid of all the corrupt priesthood and institute new leadership. What? It's too big for our imagination. I know we can think big, right? You know that book, Think Big? You can think big. God has a plan that you can't even think about. It can't fit in your head. For some, God really shocked them. Jeremiah. He approached Jeremiah and told Jeremiah, I knew you before you were conceived. How would you respond if somebody came and told you, I knew you before you were born? You're like, where are you from? How did you know that? And if you are Joseph or Mary, that information would change everything about your life. Everything, literally everything. If God came and told you the child in your hand is going to be a king, he's going to be a president, he's going to be a plumber, the most influential Christian plumber ever. The child that you're holding is going to change this entire country, this entire community, this entire world. If you're a parent, you're obviously thinking, wow, I had better do my job as a parent. And I would like us to just be aware of great things that God is doing. And sometimes we are completely oblique. We're thinking, I am tired of this child. What's wrong with them? Imagine that child you're tired of, God had told you earlier, and this is going to be a pharmacist who is going to invent medicine and is going to help the entire planet. That would change your attitude towards that kid, would not? Would it not? You're raising a pharmacist, you know it for sure. There's nothing wrong with this kid, right? He's just a kid. Eventually, your mind changes. Remember the story of Samson. God told his parents, this is going to be the strongest man on the planet. And make sure you don't give him ABCD to eat. Only give him ABC. God even defined their diet. That would make you freeze and think, I am in trouble. I am going to raise the strongest man on earth. What? I had better do my job as a parent and do it really well. What if God had told your parents that you are going to turn out to be the person you are today? Right? But if God had told you, Mom and Dad, Ken is going to be a worship leader. Your parents would have like, what? We're raising a worship leader? We are in trouble. We had better be spiritual, you know. But if God had told my dad and mom that I'm going to be a pastor, I wonder what would have happened. I wonder what would have changed about my upbringing. But you see, we, in the middle of an ordinary day, you're not in church, you're not even praying, you're not even fasting, maybe you're just reading newspapers and you're stressed, you're bored, looking for a movie to watch, maybe going out to play soccer. We need to be constantly aware that God is always up to something, even in our wanderings. Did you ever know that you would be here today, for example? You may, probably had better plans, right? Go to the village. For some reason, you're still stuck in the city, right? But let's be aware, Christians, with this Christmas narrative, that God is always up to something. Let's be constantly aware about His kingdom plan and picture. And don't miss it. In Mark chapter 1, verse 17, when Jesus called out His disciples, "Come and I'll make you fishers of men," they didn't even understand that, did they? Do you think they understood it? No. And they said, "What? Fishers of men? Maybe that sounds like a better job. Let's go. Maybe that's a promotion. Right? Let's go." And I don't know for sure what God is telling you around this Christmas time. Within the rejoicing, the gifts, the carols, the food. Obviously the food, right? The plans that you have. Tell you what, God has something in this. Just like He had it for Joseph and Mary and for many people in scriptures. He has something He's planning, and we had better tune in. Don't just whine, "Oh, this is the loudest Christmas ever, I'm stuck here." The older you grow, you realize Christmas gets a little more boring, right? It was more exciting when you were a kid. Now you have to buy your own clothes, you have to look for gifts for other people, I have to plan for my wife and children. Back in the day, I just waited for everything at home. But we have to grow and tune into what God has, because that is all what we want to be part of. And God may tell you, this child is going to be the greatest, it's going to help, it's going to be influential. He may not tell you. He may just be silent. And then you raise this child whining and grumbling and complaining, and then all of a sudden, the child becomes the person he is. And you're thinking, "Oh man, what was I thinking? I have a president in my own compound. I have a very valuable person in this society, in this community, in this village, in this city, in this church, in this world, and I didn't even know it." And sometimes we're just embarrassed. Right? Because we miss it. We took everything for granted. It's just an ordinary day. It's just ordinary Christmas time. It's just, "Oh boy, I have to cook again for them. I have to clean them up." And forgetting that God is standing right there thinking, "I wish you knew what I was doing. I'm not even going to tell you." Maybe He will tell you like He told many people in scriptures and still tells many people today. Maybe He will not. And Mary responds in the way we should all respond, whether we know God's plan or not. "So be it. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." Let it be according to your will. This wasn't Mary's big thought, big plan. This was not her dream. This was nothing she thought about. Now she's aware, she says, "Okay, God, your will be done." And we have a huge testimony of God either telling people what He's about to do, or He just surprises them. Something just happens. God had been planning it for ages, and people are caught unaware. They're spiritually unaware of what is happening. And tell you what, God still does things today in me, or through me, I'm thinking, "What?" It just humbles me. It just causes me to tremble. I do not know the next thing God is about to do. But I'm glad I'm part of it. I just want to encourage us with this story. And be aware God is up to something. Always. Not just at Christmas time. Not just when you're bored. Not just when you're excited and you're in church and you're praying and fasting all the time. God is doing something amidst us through our own hands and eyes. I don't know if you watched the story of Ben Carson. Now he wants to be president in the U.S. He was raised by a mother who was even illiterate. Have you watched the movie? What if she had known this is going to be the world's best neurosurgeon? What if she knew that? Everything would have changed, right? In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, God had a mission. He's looking for somebody to send. He's looking for you and I. He's looking for someone. And Isaiah, he has a voice. He says, Isaiah 6, 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? What if you heard that voice? I want to send somebody, anyone out there? You're thinking, why not me? I'm busy. I have other plans. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Mary says, this is confusing. This is impossible. This is complicated. I wonder what my fiance is going to think about. You had better speak to him, Lord, too, right? There's no way I'm going to explain this to anybody and they'll believe me. But so be it. God, do that which you're planning to do. And I'm glad you've chosen me. We are all favored ones, right? Not just Mary. All of us are favored. It's called grace. And all of us should be constantly aware that God could want to do something, and he actually wants to do something, and he wants you to be part of the story. It's probably the least thing you're thinking about now. What are you thinking? It could be the very thing you're thinking, or the very thing you don't even want to think about. Whatever it is, Christians, in all the excitement, all the celebrations, our Savior coming, he's bringing peace, he's bringing salvation, he's bringing heaven's goodness to us. He's not done. God is not finished with his plan for this world. He is still working. And he wants to use each one of us to accomplish it. He could speak to you this very evening. He's probably speaking to you right now. You know what to do. And we all should respond, Lord, here I am, send me. Like Mary, God, so be it. Your will be done. Amen? Amen? Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much for your choice of us to be here and hear this message. Lord, amidst all that we see around us this Christmas, Lord, we just want to remind ourselves that you're calling, and you're looking for men and women to accomplish your heavenly plans. But just like you chose Joseph and Mary to raise Jesus, Lord, you chose us to accomplish something. Maybe some of us are aware, maybe some are not. Lord, I pray that our ears may be tuned to hear your voice. Lord, as we celebrate, as we sing, as we rejoice about your coming, as we do everything we're going to be doing around this time, Lord, we want to be sensitive to what you're saying and what you want to do and how you'd want us to be involved. What a privilege. We are not the best. We are not the whatever it is the world is looking for. You've chosen the foolish things of this world, us, to confound the wise. Lord, our hearts are open, our hands are up and saying, Lord, here we are. Use us for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name.